Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you, Lord, for this day, God. Even though it's cold outside, Lord, we know your Spirit's here. God, it's warm in our hearts, Father, that you, Lord, you strengthen us. God, that you protect us. And God, we're so sorry, Lord, that others couldn't be here today, God. It usually comes because of the weather. Lord, just ask to be with each and every one of us this morning, God, that you just touch us in a special way, Father. Lord, you've been so good to us, and we just want to ever thank you for that. I just want everybody to know that I love them this morning, God, and it's sure good to be in your house. As you ask to be with these services right now today, God, that you, Lord, you preach through Cal, Lord, that he might have the word, Lord, for us to hear. God, it might help us through this week, God, and help us to be faithful servants. God, just ask you to be with him and touch him. I just ask you to be with Billy, Lord, as he teaches this morning, God. Lord, that he enlighten us in your word, God, that we might be a faithful servant, God, serve you in each and every way of our life. For these things we pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Well, glory to God. If a man can't get up and preach after a service like that, he might as well go to the house. Thank you all for being here today. We've got 45 or 50 folks here. And just want to welcome our online guests and visitors with us. Thank you all for joining in on the live stream. And you never know on a weather day like this what's going to happen. And most of the time, our policy has been to go ahead and have church and Bible study. For those that can get here, come on. For those that need to stay at the house and don't brave the weather, stay at home and catch us online. And so that's what we've done here today. We had a fantastic ordination council and ordained two of our men. And we were going to do that in the service today, but we wanted for family and friends to be able to hear to support these new deacons. And so we'll take care of that here in a week or two. But I'm just so thankful to be here today. And I want to tell you what you have heard in the music service, you're not going to hear any better anywhere.
Amen.
Man, that was fantastic. God bless you, ladies, and thank God for Andrew Penny. And anyways, if you're, we're going to go ahead, you know, we're in a season of prayer and fasting for the month of January. And we, several of us have never fasted and prayed before quite like that. There's several different fasts that you can, entertain. But several of you are fasting in some kind of way, from maybe it's a meal a day or one day a week, or maybe it's from caffeine and soft drinks and sweets or meats. Some of you are doing the Daniel fast. And so I'm praying over those. If you hadn't turned in your commitment sheet, please do that in one of these buckets or back there on the table, and because I'm praying over those fasts and the spiritual goals that you're fasting for. So, we're in a season of prayer and fasting, and I'm not exactly sure why God has led us to such a time as this, but maybe we need to be closer to Him than we've ever been before. Maybe it's for some other reason. Maybe God wants to develop these disciplines in us. It may be that God is about to do a great work among us. And so God needs to prepare our hearts through this season of prayer and fasting. And I'm not sure what all the ramifications are. All I know is we're giving ourselves to prayer and fasting this month as a church family. And at the end of the month, man, we're going to have a tremendous praise and prayer service. I can't wait to get to that. But this morning, we're going to look at the story of Esther. And if you'll be finding Esther 4 in your Bibles, we'll go to the scripture here in just a moment. But You know, when you read through the book of Esther, the name of God's not mentioned in the book, but he's all in and through the book. The word prayer is not mentioned in the book of Esther, but it is laden with prayer. And it's the providence of God and the prayers of God's people are at work in the book of Esther. You may know a little something about Esther through a series of events. God's providence led Esther to be the new queen of Persia. Her husband, the king Ahasuerus, was, crazy, head over heels in love with Queen Esther. And as we have learned through history and Bible study and reading of the scriptures, Satan hates the Jewish people. He's been trying to wipe them out and destroy them since day one. He hates the Jewish people. And so through a series of trickery and deception, King Ahasuerus had a right-hand man by the name of Haman who had tricked the king into signing a document that would end in genocide for all the Jewish people that lived in that area of the world. On a certain date, all the Jews from Eastern Europe to the western provinces of Asia and India, and as far south as Egypt and Africa, would be exterminated. And once this decree went out all over Persia, it would be legal to kill any and every Jew. Well, Esther had a cousin by the name of Mordecai. Now, you don't know much about Mordecai. You don't hear a lot, but he was a great man of God. And Mordecai got in touch with his cousin, Queen Esther, who he had raised from an early age because of the captivity of the Jewish people. And he came to her and asked her what she was going to do and convinced her that she needed to do something in order to save her people. And so she asked Mordecai to spread the word to the Jews in Shushan, that was the capital city, to fast for 3 days and three nights so that she might have the courage to do what she needed to do. And may I say to each one of you here today, these are just as desperate days in our nation as it was for Queen Esther and her people. God's raising up a few people for such a time as this in prayer and fasting so that we might have the confidence to do what God's calling us to do. If you would stand as we honor the reading of God's word this morning, let me read Esther chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. If you remain completely silent at this time, this is Mordecai responding to Esther, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Father, may your spirit that lives within us and that is often manifest here during Sunday mornings as we worship, may your spirit bear witness to our spirit, God, that your word is true and applicable to us here this morning, just like it was in the days of Queen Esther. Move in this place. Speak to us on this cold, chilly, icy morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. In the verses that we read, there are several truths I want to bring out of this text and passage of Scripture, but the first thing that prayer and fasting will do for your life is it will instill courage. It will instill courage. Look at verse 11. In chapter 4, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. And then verse 16, part B, my maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Queen Esther had not been in the king's presence now for about 30 days. And she had no idea what his attitude might be toward her. Furthermore, anyone who dared to go into the presence of the king without his permission was to be executed on sight, to be killed. And unless the king extended his golden scepter to whoever it was who wanted to come in and talk with the king. And so Queen Esther knew all of this. And she hadn't seen the king for about 30 days. Now, we don't know exactly what all the king was doing. Why did she need to ask her people to fast and pray? Well, she knew she needed the courage to go in and speak to the king. Even though the law said if you hadn't been invited, if you hadn't been asked, if you hadn't been summoned or called for, and you showed up unannounced, whoosh, yeah. And so she needed courage, and so she asked her brothers and sisters to pray and fast for her. And she and her maids prayed and fasted. And you know, brothers and sisters, I don't know how God does it, but when you're praying and fasting, somehow God instills courage in you. He places it in your life, and there's something special about taking your focus off of food for a season in order to focus in on who God is and what He wants to do in His power and presence in your life. It just brings courage and confidence into your life. And I don't know what some of you all are going through. Now, your situation may not be quite as dire as Esther's was, but how many of you in here have some difficulties in your life and you need some courage to face down those difficulties? Well, prayer and fasting can instill that in you. It will give you what you need. Somebody say amen. When we're weak and humble, man, God shows up. And somehow when we sacrifice and give up the most needed thing in our life, that's food. Without it, what happens? Yeah. So when we give that desire up to eat and basically are saying to the Lord, God, I need you and I need your power and your presence in my life right now more than I desire food, that gets the attention of God. Puts a smile on his face, and it frees him up to do what only he can do. If you need courage today, I would say to you, why don't you dive in to this thing called prayer and fasting? And I have found in my own life, I'm just a rookie at all this too, but fasting gets me on praying ground. Hallelujah. So, prayer and fasting instills courage. There's a second truth here in chapter 5. Verses 2 and 3, prayer and fasting incites favor, the favor of God. Look at chapter 5. Now, it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found what? Favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter, and the king said to her, honey pie, sweetheart, sugar britches, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom. I don't understand it all, but I can just in my mind's eye, as Esther stands outside, just outside the royal throne room, but enough for the king to see her. Get that picture in your mind right now. The king's sitting there on his royal throne at the royal palace. Around him are all his court attendants who are attired in colorful clothing. Imagine all the gold and the silver and the marble that are shining and shimmering in the throne room. Imagine all the tapestries and the draperies around the throne. I don't know, the king may have been conducting some business. We're not told. But when all of a sudden Esther steps out into the royal court in all of her regal splendor, dressed in her royal apparel, a holy hush fell over the king's court. And, you know, I'm sure that she was... King Ahasuerus, when he saw his wife, his queen, don't you know that his heart just started going pitter-pat? Because, I mean, Esther's looking good. And Esther had made the decision, girls, like some of you all, if I'm going down, I'm going down looking good. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. She's looking fantastic. And she wants the king's attention. And would the king raise his scepter or not? Well, I want you to know, Esther, she didn't know what was going to happen. But Esther didn't go limping into that throne room with fear. She went leaping into that throne room with faith. How? Why? Because she's prayed up. Because she's been praying and fasting and seeking God's face and seeking God's power and His presence in her life. I believe she understood that she had a divine purpose, that God had placed her there for such a time as this. She could see God's providence at work, and so she's confident, she's courageous. And after the king could catch his breath, I mean, she had knocked his eyes out with her beauty. What did he do? He extended the golden scepter to her, which basically said, yeah, come on in, and invited her to approach the throne. She steps forward, accepts his invitation of grace. And by the way, can you apply this? You ought to be able to apply this right now. God has done exactly the same for you and me. We can come into His presence anytime. We can come into the very throne room of the God of this universe because of His grace. Hebrews 4:16 says we can come boldly into the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I want to tell you, when you're praying and fasting, I don't know how God does it, but it frees. Prayer and fasting frees God up to do what only He can do in your life, and it brings His favor in and on your life. Amen. How many of you would desire the favor of God this morning on your life? I think every one of us would. If not, I want to check your IQ out. You know, and I try to put myself in the text, you know, when I'm reading. And I'm sitting there thinking, what's the king thinking about? Now, he knows this has got to be something that Esther is worried and concerned and tore up about. She's not coming in here to get my credit card so she can go on a shopping trip. You know, she's not coming in here to try to get me to take me out to some nice restaurant and wine and dine me. She's got issues. She's got a problem. And I don't know what that is, but I'm going to hear her and listen to her. And to express her love for her and her allegiance to her, what does he do? He basically gives her a blank check and lets her sign it. I want to tell you, there's something about prayer and fasting that gets us on shouting ground with God. There he is. You'll have the favor of the Lord upon you. He'll open up doors that you never dreamed He'll open. He'll do things for you that you never dreamed that He would do. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you... Some of you are here this morning and you've got some type of difficulty. You've got some big question. You've got something going on in your life and you don't understand. You don't know what to do. Can I encourage you? Do like Esther and her people did. Pray and fast. Pray and fast. I know that's not the Baptist thing to do, but it's the biblical thing to do. I said, it's the biblical thing to do. Dick was telling me this morning, he said, you know, Cal, I was reading through the scriptures over there in Acts, and just about every time he opens his Bible, he sees somebody in the book of Acts praying and fasting. We've gotten away from this. But Jesus expected that we would just do it. He said, when you fast. In other words, not if, he said when. And so when we do, it instills courage in us and it incites the favor of God on us. And he'll even, how many of you could stand a little more grace this morning? Now I know it's cold and it's icy and all that outside, but y'all, the Holy Spirit is speaking loud up in here today. Are you hearing him? Do you hear it? Did you hear him? Now, here's the third thing. And we need to read some more scripture, but here's the third thing prayer and fasting will do for us during this season. It ensures deliverance. Look at chapter 7. I guess I'll start there at verse 3. Then Queen Esther answered and said, if I found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we have been sold, she's talking to the king, sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, who is he and where is he? Who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. And when the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Uh-oh, is right. Then the king said, will he also assault the queen while I'm in the house? As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now Harbonah, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. Now, jump over to chapter 8 and look at the conclusion. Verse 11. Chapter 8. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions on one day. In all the province of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, a copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all people, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. And let me back up to verse 7. Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, and Mordecai the Jew, indeed, I've given Esther the house of Haman, and they've hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. And then he says, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. So the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, in the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, to the Jews in their own script and language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal horses, and bread from Swit. So I don't have time to go through the whole chapter, both of those chapters reading this, but what I have gleaned from that is that prayer and fasting not only instills courage and incites the favor of God, but it ensures deliverance. When the king found out that his queen and her people were going to be destroyed, put to death, and exterminated, he was infuriated. Now, we know that King Ahasuerus was a hothead. I mean, he had a bad temper. He had already deposed one queen before Esther was placed in as his queen. And so When he hears what had happened and how he had been tricked and deceived by Haman, he's so upset and so mad, he has to leave the banquet hall and he goes out in the courthouse to kind of cool off. Can anybody identify with that? Sometimes it's just better to get away for a minute before you respond. Hello? That's another sermon for another time. But, the queen and her people had been sold out, and he had been played as a fool. And so he comes back in, and the next thing he sees, Haman pawing his queen. He's laid over the couch where she's sitting. And so he looks at this, and he says, right there. Now, Haman had been building some gallows to hang her cousin Mordecai and his family on. Well, guess who wound up being hung on those gallows? Haman was. I won't tell you, God has a way of vindicating his people. He will stand up and deliver us when we need. He doesn't isolate us from trouble, but he insulates us in trouble. Y'all with me so far? And so, this kept coming back to my mind over and over again. Be sure your sins will find you out. And Haman's sins found him out. And so, now though, even Esther and Mordecai were safe. Something still needed to be done to save all these Jewish people. And so, Esther had such favor with the king that he gave her his signet ring, which carried all the power behind the throne with it. He said, you write your own law. And then you make that imprint of my signet ring, and your people will be saved. Whew. And by the way, this is a beautiful illustration of our salvation. We were all, just like the Jewish people were, we were all under the sentence of death. Because sin leads to what? Death. And the decree came down from heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And on the day that the Jews were to be slaughtered, 75,000 of the enemies of the Jewish people lost their lives, and 500 of their enemies in the capital city of Shushan were slaughtered. And so the king's decree brought deliverance, and it all began with a woman who had a burden for her people and began to pray and fast. And did you know the Jews still today celebrate this great day? It's called the Feast of Purim, and they celebrate God's deliverance from their enemies. And you know, the greatest enemy you'll ever face is the law of sin and death. Your sins, my sins, would forever separate me from a holy God. But hallelujah, a new decree sounded forth at Calvary. We sang about it this morning. Did you get that? I mean, the old rugged cross. No wonder it's got a special attraction for us this morning. There's a new decree that was sounded forth at the cross, and Jesus is alive today, and anyone and everyone can be delivered from the sin, from sin and death. Hallelujah. And as you're fasting and praying this morning, and this month really, who do you know that needs to be set free from out from under that decree of sin and death? I want to tell you, God will hear that prayer. Because it is in his heart that none would perish, but that all might come to repentance. And so as we pray and fast together, know this, it will ensure deliverance in your life and mine. I'm so thankful for that. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something else that you need deliverance from. You know, one of the things that prayer and fasting And I'm not here to brag. I'm not even here to, you know, talk about what Diane and I are doing. But I will say this. You know what it's done for us? It's got us praying together more often. I need to pray with my wife. She needs to pray with me. And it's got us on praying ground together. And we've been able to agree on some things and come to God with some things. And now, you know what? I believe God's going to heal some of these things that we've been talking about. How many of you could stand a good healing today? Physically or emotionally or mentally, relationally, spiritually. Well, that comes through this thing that we're talking about, prayer and fasting. I don't know what all the needs are up in here this morning, but I can tell you this, God's greater and bigger and larger than any need I have. And He can meet them all. He is able with a capital A, and He can and wants to do something here at Second Mile and at Kenwood. And if we'll just be obedient and do what the Scripture said, glory to God. Great and mighty things He's going to show us that we don't know anything about. Look at your neighbor and say, hallelujah. That was almost Baptist-costal. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this message today from Your Word. There's not a one of us in here who doesn't need favor, who doesn't need courage, who doesn't need deliverance from something. And Lord, we know that prayer and fasting is not some hoop that we jump through in order to get You to do something for us. But it does deliver us into the power and the presence of Almighty God. And Lord, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters right now. I don't know exactly what the needs are, but You do. And so I would ask, Lord, in this small crowd here and in the larger crowd online, that even now, right now, Father, that You would be pleased with our obedience. Thank You, Lord, for this season. I want you to, let's just remain in an attitude of prayer. You know, last week we went down to the river to pray. This morning we're just going to pray right here in your seats. But if you need for God to move in your life, you've got a difficulty, you've got something going on, and you need God's presence in a real, tangible way. You need the power of God. Maybe you need wisdom. I want to invite you to come to an altar of prayer. In the quietness and stillness of this moment, just get up out of your seat and come. I'm going to ask Andrew to just sing our hymn of response. While you're praying and you come for prayer, you just get up out of your seat and come on. We'd love to pray with you and for you. You come. Andrew, sing for us. Anybody? Father, we do give You praise this morning. There is no one like You. There is no God but You. You are on Your throne. You are in that great throne room in glory. And Your Son is right there beside You praying for us. How can we lose as the people of God? Oh Lord, minister to our hearts. May we be a great blessing to You in ceaseless praise. May our voices continue to sing about our great King. May we share His goodness and greatness with someone on this day. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.